Tuesday, your vote is going to save our country. Most important election we've ever had.
We choose hope over fear. We choose unity over division, science over fiction, and yes, truth over lies.
It's Election Day in the United States. This is the Wednesday, November 4th edition of VOA Asia, a special U.S. presidential election program as voting concludes. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Political polls got it wrong 4 years ago. Have they changed? Tight voting in several states, other races, and educating voters amid COVID. It's all on this special edition of VOA Asia. U.S. voters have cast their ballots for either President Donald Trump or former Vice President Joe Biden. As the votes are counted and states, which carry a number of electoral votes depending on their population size, are won or lost, each candidate is hoping to reach the winning number of at least 270 Electoral College votes. Ahead of the election, political polls have been trying to predict how the candidates fared among people eligible to vote. But in 2016, the polls were largely incorrect. Hillary Clinton was said to have had a large advantage over Donald Trump. This year, Joe Biden has a sizable lead. Should we believe it? VOA's Adriana Zhang spoke with John C. Fortier, Director of Governmental Studies at the Bipartisan Policy Center, to find out what has changed from 4 years ago.
Polling is an industry that, very broadly speaking, tries to survey a representative sample of the population and understand the opinions of those people to give some broader sense of how the country is feeling about an election or about other matters. In 2016, we had some polling error. We always have a little bit of error. The national polls were not so far off. They were slightly more favorable to Hillary Clinton than the result. What we really saw was some polling failure in the states, especially in key states. One, we didn't poll there enough, and two, the results showed a bigger Hillary Clinton win in states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. And those made the difference. Today, Joe Biden has a larger lead that in the polls than Hillary Clinton had over Donald Trump in 2016. Of course, there can be polling error, but it could be in either direction. And you know, generally, polls have a good track record, but they can be off, and perhaps they could be missing a trend that we're not seeing.
What are the pollsters doing to prevent the same mistake, or can they prevent the mistake due to shy Trump supporters?
One thing we're doing, of course, is polling more in those states that we didn't poll enough in last time. And many pollsters are more attuned to polling for educational differences in the white vote, the non-college white vote versus the college white vote. In 2016, we did not appreciate how big that difference would be between Donald Trump voters and Hillary Clinton voters. Many pollsters, not all, but many pollsters are looking for that sort of divide this time. What are the difference between white working class voters and white college educated voters?
John C. Fortier, Director of Governmental Studies at the Bipartisan Policy Center, speaking with VOA's Adriana Zhang. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. Secretary of State condemns arrests of Hong Kong pro-democracy activists. Australia joins India, U.S., and Japan in Indian Ocean War Games. The United States says ball is in China's court to reverse U.S.-China decoupling. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Concession speeches from defeated political rivals have traditionally played a key role in legitimizing American democracy. But as VOA's Brian Padden reports, there may not be one today or soon after if the U.S. presidential election results are close.
For 36 days after the 2000 presidential election, in which the margin of victory came down to a few hundred votes in the key state of Florida, Democratic candidate Al Gore and Republican rival George W. Bush engaged in legal disputes over the ballot count. but after a conservative majority on the Supreme Court sided with the Bush campaign, Gore conceded the race and pledged to support the incoming President Bush.
And tonight, for the sake of our unity as a people and the strength of our democracy, I offer my concession.
On election night in 2016, Democrat Hillary Clinton struck a similar unifying tone in congratulating Republican Donald Trump on his upset presidential victory.
We must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead.
Both Gore and Clinton lost in the official Electoral College system designed to give rural states added representation despite winning the national popular vote. This year, Clinton advised Democratic candidate Joe Biden not to concede under any circumstances, as she expects the Trump campaign to contest mail-in or absentee ballots that surveys indicate are being cast by significantly more Democrats than Republicans. At the first presidential debate, Biden said he would accept the election outcome, but only after all the votes are counted. That could take some time.
If I win, that will be accepted. If I lose, it'll be accepted.
Trump, who is trailing in presidential opinion polls, has repeatedly said he may not accept the election results if Biden is deemed the winner, citing unverified claims of massive mail-in voting fraud and abuse.
They sent two in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got two ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen.
Analysts worry that a refusal by the losing candidate to accept the results and call upon supporters to do the same could weaken public faith in democracy.
A prolonged dispute could be very damaging for confidence in our democracy and the legitimacy of the next president.
With partisan tensions so high this year, both sides also fear a bitterly contested election could spark political violence from right-wing extremists and radical leftists. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, the Australian Navy joined Indian, Japanese, and American warships for annual Malabar exercises in the Indian Ocean, marking the growing strategic convergence of the four countries amid rising concerns about Chinese assertiveness in Asia. Australia returns to the exercises after 13 years. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us for our special presidential election coverage on VOA Asia. U.S. states are usually referred to by color, red for Republican and blue for Democrat. When states become too close to predict, they're called purple, as in mixing those colors of red and blue. Texas has traditionally been red, but this year the second largest U.S. state appears to be changing. VOA's Elizabeth Lee explains why Texas is one of those states turning purple.
In rural Carn City, Texas, ranchers and farmers are firing up their tractors to caravan for Donald Trump. Democrats are revved up for Joe Biden. The political parties on both sides of the presidential race are highly mobilized in a state that had been a model of Republican conservatism. Texas is deeply divided between the red Republican rural regions and the blue Democratic urban areas. But the bridge between the two areas, the suburb, is changing Texas politics. The communities outside the urban centers used to be Republican strongholds, but they are turning purple due to nearly a decade of rapid population growth, economic development, and migration.
As people from California, from other parts of Texas, from the cities that were close to those suburbs that moved out looking for better schools and cheaper housing, as all those people moved around, a lot of them settled in those districts, and they changed those districts.
Minorities such as African Americans, Latinos, East and South Asians make up the faces of many suburbs. The different ethnicities, as well as whites, lead to a greater mix of political beliefs. A polling average shows Trump and Biden essentially tied in Texas. Henson says the Republicans and Democrats are doing everything they can to mobilize people to vote in hopes of making a difference in the Lone Star State. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
This news from VOA Asia. Islamic State claimed responsibility for Monday's attack on Kabul University that killed at least 22 people and injured a dozen more. Afghan security forces said the attack ended after an hours-long gunfight. You'll find these stories and more throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue now with our special edition of VOA Asia. In addition to the presidential candidates, elections also decide important contests for the U.S. Congress and local offices. Voters also consider specific issues, some which have national or even international implications. In California, voters are deciding on an initiative that would keep people who work in the so-called gig economy as independent contractors, not employees. Michelle Quinn reports.
When her employer cut her hours, Maria Hernandez, a healthcare worker, turned to driving for Lyft, the ride-hailing firm, to make up lost income. She likes it, meeting people and picking up work when she can.
I think the flexibility is a wonderful thing.
The so-called gig economy, which uses apps to connect people like Hernandez to jobs, is under threat in the Golden State. Voters are deciding on Proposition 22, a ballot initiative sponsored by companies like Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, and others. They have spent nearly $200 million on it, the most ever for a state initiative. A lot is at stake. If Prop 22 passes, it would keep drivers like Hernandez as independent contractors. Opponents include major labor unions who argue that there is already a state law which the firms are challenging, requiring them to treat workers as employees with protections such as sick leave, overtime, and other benefits. Among Uber and Lyft drivers, there's a divide over the initiative, says Chris Gerassi, a contributor to the Rideshare Guy, a media outlet for gig economy workers, and an Uber driver in Buffalo, New York. Full-time drivers tend to support the initiative, he said, while the majority of drivers, part-timers like himself, value flexibility. At a recent protest against the initiative in San Francisco, some drivers said they had had enough.
I'm here because I'm a rideshare driver. I've given close to 20,000 rides, and so I'm very familiar with the exploitation that these companies put us through. We have low pay. We have no access to benefits. It's just unjust.
One thing is certain. The stakes are high for workers and customers in this battle over the future of work. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
As Americans participate in the 2020 election during a pandemic, the Atlanta, Georgia-based Carter Center, founded by former President Jimmy Carter, is working to educate U.S. voters. We hear more from VOA's Kane Faribault.
Launched in 1986 by former President Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalind, the Carter Center has long promoted peace and democracy around the globe. As part of that mission, the Carter Center became a leading election monitoring organization, observing more than 110 contests in Asia, Africa, and Latin America.
We've always worked for peace around the world, but we've kind of ignored the United States.
Among the reasons, judging the fairness of elections is a monumental task in a nation like the United States, where all 50 states have differing laws and rules for voting and counting ballots. But after U.S. intelligence agencies documented foreign interference in the 2016 U.S. election and predicted a repeat in 2020, the Carter Center concluded their international experience might help at home by focusing on voter education. Amory Davis-Roberts is an associate director in the Carter Center's Democracy Program, which has been working to educate Americans about casting absentee and mail-in ballots, a record number of which were requested this year because of the coronavirus pandemic.
This is an unusual election for the United States. You know, I think we're all sort of learning as we go.
Former President Carter's hopes for America extend far beyond boosting voter participation and confidence in elections.
Not only in peace, but also human rights and environmental equality, and the treatment of everybody as equals, no matter what their religion might be, or no matter what party they might be.
Kane Faribault, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
VOA has all of the latest election results as they continue to come in. Get the latest at VOA Asia Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and our website, voanews.com. Our program has been brought to you by Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.